Good morning, ladies. Can you believe that we only have two more qualities of the fruit of the Spirit to consider in our Bible study that we're calling Tasting Notes, pairing the fruit of the Spirit with resurrection life? Now, this week we're going to move from Galatians 5:22 to Galatians 5:23. So let's get our scripture journals, your notebook, or whatever you're writing in, where we're writing these two verses down and trying to commit them to memory one quality at a time. And let's just start at the very beginning, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, which we considered last week. And this week we're adding, beginning now, verse 23, gentleness. The verse concludes self-control, and we'll look at that next week. Paul teaches us that against such things there is no law. Now, as you add that new descriptive word, gentleness, I want to take just a minute to look at the whole list. Many biblical scholars have noted that these nine characteristics can be organized into three triads, which just means three groups of three. Those first three flavors, love, joy, peace, have an upward focus. The second three flavors, patience, kindness, and goodness, have an inward focus. And then the final three flavors, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, have an outward focus. In that, they mark, they instruct, they inform and our outward activity. So let's understand them to function this way. So faithfulness, as we studied last week, addresses the way that we deal with God. Okay, the way that we deal with God. Gentleness, that we're going to look at today, addresses the way that we deal with others. And then self-control, that we'll consider next week, is really informs, it controls the way that we deal with ourselves. Today, let's devote our hearts, let's devote our minds, let's devote our time and our understanding to that quality of gentleness, that flavor of the fruit of the Spirit that should mark the way that we deal with others. Let's stop and take a minute and pray and ask the Lord to be our teacher. Father, it is an absolute honor, joy, and privilege to be studying your word this morning with these women who have gathered to seek you. Oh Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit now, that you would teach us, that we would see wonderful things in your word, that we would be faithful, Father, as you taught us last week, to walk in the things that we understand by the power of your Spirit, for they have been freely given to us. And now, Lord, would you open our understanding in every way to what it means to be gentle, not in the way our culture defines it, but in the way you define it. Teach us, Lord, we pray, for your good, for your glory and our good, and for the joy of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's begin where we have begun with most of these qualities, and that is looking at the original language, looking at the Greek word that we find in Ephesians 5:22 for gentleness. That word is transliterated, and it'll be up here on your screen, P-R-A-U-T-E-S, prautes. The word means everything you expect it to mean. It means gentle, it means mild, humble, kind, considerate. But really and fascinatingly, it has no precise English translation equivalent. Aristotle labeled gentleness as the golden mean, and by that he meant the halfway point between the two extremes of being angry at everything and being angry at nothing. That midway point between extreme aggression and extreme apathy. Prautes was used in secular Greek writing to describe a few different pictures, a soothing wind, a healing medicine, a colt that had been broken. Now in each one of those pictures, in each instance, there was power. Right? A wind can become a storm, too much medicine can kill, and a horse can break loose. And so thus, prautes specifically describes power under control. Sometimes the word meekness is interchanged for that biblical word gentleness, as meekness can also rightly be understood to mean power under control. But Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Fruitful Life, points out that there is a slight distinction between those two words. Gentleness, writes Bridges, is an active trait, describing the manner in which we should treat others, while meekness is a passive trait, describing the proper Christian response when others mistreat us. And it is that very active nature of gentleness that sets it apart and makes it distinct. Theologian F.B. Meyer rightly remarks that it is not easy to cultivate this fruit of the Spirit because it has many counterfeits. In gentleness, there must be a consciousness of a considerable reserve of force. Picture it this way, he says. When a boy is trying to lift or carry a beam, there will likely be a great crash when he reaches the end of his task and puts it on the ground. His strength is so nearly exhausted that he is only too glad to get rid of his burden anyhow and at any cost. But if a strong man shoulders the same burden and carries it for the same distance, he puts it down gently because he has not taxed his strength and has plenty left. It is the prerogative of great strength to be gentle. Or, as C. Norman Bartlett puts it, steam does the most work when it makes the least noise. Now, as a quality of the fruit of the Spirit, we understand that this gentleness can and must originate with God, for it's He that produces this fruit in us. Now, we see the gentleness of God on display all throughout our Bibles, in both our Old and New Testaments. Remember, this is one book about one God. And Jesus Christ, who we meet by name in the New Testament, is the same God who is at work in the Old Testament. And it's there in Isaiah chapter 40 that we see the glorious omnipotence of God distributed through the divine restraint of gentleness as he cares for his people. Just listen. Listen to the power of your God. I'm going to start here in verse 10, read 15, and then 25 and 26. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. To whom will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Oh, dear ones, but then right in the middle of that display of infinite power, right in between those strong words we read in verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. That is the way that God deals with his people. It's no surprise then that we would find that same gentle spirit in Jesus Christ when we encounter him in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 11, where he's speaking to a crowd and he offers this invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, that's the word, praoutes, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. there, dear sisters, right there in verse 29, we are given the key, the means to this incredible quality of the fruit of the Spirit. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am prautes, I am gentle and lowly in heart." See, gentleness is produced in the life of the believer through submission to the Son. The picture that Jesus gives us when he says, "Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle," is the picture of an animal bowing its head, stooping down low to come under the control of its master. Gentleness is received through an active submission to God, and then it's extended through us by active submission to others. When we are willing to stoop down low, to take the yoke of Christ, submitting to him in order to serve others the way that he does, the results are powerful. And I want to submit four things to you in regards to the results of submission to Christ to receive his gentleness. Number one, we are at rest. We saw it there at the end of that passage that I just read to you in Matthew 11, 29. Jesus says that when we come to him in this way, we will find rest for our souls. And when we are at rest in Christ, others can be at rest around us. Jerry Bridges notes that Christ's whole demeanor was such that people were often restful in his presence. This effect is another outworking of the gentle grace of God. People are at rest or at ease around the Christian who is truly gentle. Number two, the gospel is made attractive. Now in 2 Corinthians 10:1, we see Paul appeal to the Corinthians by the gentleness, that is, that exact same word, the prautes of Christ. He doesn't demand from them. He does not insist. He appeals with gentleness. And it is then that gentleness which compels the listener, thus making the gospel attractive. Praise God. Number three, the Lord is able to restore believers who have been drawn away by sin through repentance. When we serve him, when we submit to him, when we receive that yoke and follow him in gentleness, it's that same appealing gentleness that not only invites, but restores. Paul clearly teaches this to us in 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, and in Galatians 6, 1. He says that those who are opposed to the things of Christ will not be drawn back to him through harsh correction, but rather through the restoration that comes through the spirit of gentleness exercised by the believer through the work of the Holy Spirit, to whom gentleness belongs. And then finally, number four, the result of gentleness is that God is glorified. We understand through Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, that while all things are permissible for us as believers, for we have, he taught us in Galatians chapter 5, we've been given freedom, full freedom in Christ. But while all things are permissible for us, he goes on to help us understand that not all things are beneficial or edifying, not for us and not for anyone else. He explains in verse 31 that it's when we serve one another in humility, that is gentleness, that we bring glory to Christ. That's the result. And sisters, that's a big deal. When we understand that the chief end of man, of woman, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, if we understand that the functional definition of gentleness is power under control, then we can also understand by contrast that the opposite of gentleness is going to be power out of control. And the results of power out of control are disastrous, not to mention just downright scary. Power out of control does not glorify God. It is not useful in making the gospel attractive, and it is not able to restore those who are opposed to the things of Christ. On the contrary, it is destructive to the cause of Christ, to ourselves, and to others. It's for that reason that the Apostle Paul asserts in 1 Corinthians 4:20, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." See, he's affirming that this is a kingdom of power. But then he immediately asks the Corinthians in the following verse, "What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love, in a spirit of gentleness?" The answer's obvious. It's gentleness. Gentleness wins. So why then is the application of praoutes so difficult? And I want to just argue this morning that it's exactly precisely because of the stakes. If gentleness is, if it's effective in glorifying God, in making the gospel attractive, and in restoring the people of God, then the enemy of our souls will surely oppose it. Now, the Word of God warns us not to be quarrelsome as believers, because quarrelsome, we are taught, leads to the ruin of its hearers. 2 Timothy 2:14. Not only that, it kindles strife. Proverbs 26:21. And then it's just terribly difficult to live with. Proverbs 25:24. It's for that reason that you know that our enemy wants us to be harsh. He wants us to lose our cool. He wants us to be anything but gentle so that the gospel fails. Sisters, let's not go down without a fight. This week in our review and reflection guide, we're going to consider four prevalent opponents that threaten the fruit of gentleness in the life of a believer. We're going to look at things like anger and pride, entitlement, and legalism, this inflexibility. But we're also going to consider four friends, four allies that we can enlist in the fight. Space for the wrath of God, slowness to anger, humility, satisfaction in Christ, and grace, abounding grace. In this way, we are going to think deeply and to ask the Spirit of God to help us overcome these enemies and to live our lives in victory and in great fruitfulness. Now, if you've not already received that review and reflection guide from me, you can access it right in the description of this video. Click on that link and you'll find it there. Or you can email us at fbcpasowomen@gmail.com and we will get it to you. But I want to spend the rest of our time together this morning hoping to inspire you with the ultimate example of gentleness in Christ, and then to issue us the same ultimate challenge to follow that example. Let's begin. Let's begin with that ultimate example. If you have your Bibles, please open them to John chapter 13. We're going to begin reading in verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 17. John 13, start right there in verse 1. Go ahead and open up there, and then we'll conclude when we get to verse 17. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. Just listen, and I will read it to us. Verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin. Oh, I can't wait to talk to you about that in our last final lesson, but I'm getting ahead of myself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. So now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Okay, let's look carefully at this in light of what we've just learned about the fruit of gentleness. Here we find Jesus, who is about to be arrested and crucified, and he knows it. What do we find him doing? First, verses 1 and 3, we find him loving, knowing, and understanding. Look at it. He loved his disciples to the end. He knew that all power had been given to him. That's the nature of gentleness, remember? Power under control. And he understood that he was going home. Next, in verses 4 and 5, we find him removing, stooping, and serving. Just look at it. Verses 4 and 5, he gets up from the meal. He takes off his outer clothing. He removes his outer clothing. And then he bows down low to wash their feet. Remember that? That picture of gentleness. It stoops down. And then serving them in an unparalleled display of gentleness. And then finally, in verses 12 through 17, we find him calling. He's calling them. And dear ones, he's calling us. He's issuing us the ultimate challenge. Let's read it again. In verse 12, let's read what Jesus says. That when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher," and he's speaking to us, "now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." The call of Jesus is absolutely clear right there. He's calling us to follow him in that kind, that type of gentle service to one another. And praise God, as clear as the call is, so is the promise. We read it in verse 17. "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So the final question for us this morning is, what are we wearing. Because Jesus, he wasn't just leaving an example for the disciples who were in the room that night. He was leaving an example for us. That challenge is laid out for us clearly in this passage and in Paul's instruction to the Colossians in chapter 3. I'm just going to begin here with verse 1. If then you, that's me, if we have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. We just saw Jesus do that. He knew where he was going. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I hope it blessed you to study about that in our reflection time last week. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So then, verse 9, put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. As I have done this for you, now you do this for others, Jesus says. And how? Oh, Paul tells us. He tells us. He says in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and sister, he will love us to the end, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, prautes, gentleness, and patience. We, just like the disciples, we are God's chosen people. We are holy and dearly loved. And right there in John 13 and here in Colossians 3, there's a picture of taking off the outer garment and putting on like a towel around the waist of a servant, the clothing of compassion, kindness, humility, prautes, gentleness, and patience. And in so doing, to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ by stooping down low to serve his people as a Holy Spirit-born demonstration of power under control, knowing that we too are going home. Listen to me, woman. Wearing gentleness as a garment in the way that we deal with other people, both inside our homes and outside our homes, does not put us in a position of weakness. Do not misunderstand. It puts us in a position of great strength, because it makes you invaluably powerful in that you are useful to the cause of the gospel. You bring glory to God, and your own soul is set at rest. Glory, Lord. So let's end our time today looking at these three goals that we've set before us for every lesson. We understand that it is as we abide in the vine, who is Jesus Christ, that he produces fruit in our lives. And so we have made it our goal to plant the word of God in our minds through memorization, to ask him to produce that fruit through meditation, that abiding in the vine, and then to press that fruit out in our lives as a demonstration of the living Spirit of God in our world. So take out your memory verse card, if you would, knowing that this is the way we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Take out your memory card and write down Colossians 3:12. I just read it for you. I'm going to read it again. You write it down, and I have it on my card here. You write it on yours. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I've chosen to memorize this verse in the NIV because it's a single sentence. If there's a Bible-based solid translation that you prefer, go ahead and memorize it in that translation. That is our memory work for this week. That is what we are planting in our minds. Then number two, produce. We're meditating on this word, asking the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in our lives because it belongs to Him and comes through Him alone. In order to produce that fruit, to meditate on this word, on this quality of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, I want to ask you to get the review and reflection guide from me. Again, if you don't already have it, send me an email at fbcpasowomen@gmail.com and I will get it to you, because we're going to dive deeper this week in looking at and studying and in asking the Lord how to defeat the opponents of gentleness in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that He might produce the fruit of gentleness in our lives in such a way that we live in victory and in incredible and increasing fruitfulness. And then finally, sisters, we're asking the Lord to press that fruit out in our lives for the glory of God, for our good, and for the joy of those around us. And so here's your method this week. Here's your method. I want you to say that memory verse every time you get dressed for the day this week. Okay, so say it out loud. Keep that card in your closet maybe, and say it as you get dressed for the day. And even as you're choosing your clothing for the day, and this is an extra challenge, I want to ask you, as an encouragement to your sisters who are also trying to plant this word in their minds, before you get dressed, lay your clothes out. Lay them out and put that memory card right on top of them and take a picture. Take a picture of it. Share it on our Women's Ministry of First Baptist Church Facebook page, or on our FBC Paso Women Instagram, and encourage one another as we fight shoulder to shoulder, asking the Lord to produce this fruit in our lives and to press it out in such a way that we are the living demonstration of the Spirit of God in our world. Finally, sisters, I want to leave you with this blessing, with this invitation. And I know we've read it already, but I want you to hear it in your soul. These words of Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Sisters, I love you. I'm praying for you. Tomorrow is Worship Wednesday at 10 a.m. on the same Facebook page. I hope that you will join us. We're looking forward to being in that space where you see Jesse Lem leading us at Creekside Farms on Tuesday, June 16th, for our final lesson, where we're going to look at the new wine of the Spirit. I hope that you can join us there. Bring a friend. It's a large property, so we will be able to spread out. And if you can't join us there, don't worry. We'll still be streaming live at 10 a.m. on that Tuesday. Either way, I can't wait to see you next week as we consider the final quality of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, and then go into the wrap-up of everything our God has been teaching us. I love you. I'm praying for you. I can't wait to see you next week.